League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, October 16th, 2017, and last night the Green Bay Packers fell to the Minnesota Vikings 23-10 at U.S. Bank Stadium, but the details of the game didn't matter as much as the overarching storyline, which, of course, was the injury to Aaron Rodgers. The Packers announced that he has a broken collarbone in his right shoulder, which, of course, is his throwing arm, his throwing shoulder. And his return is, well, up for debate, I guess. Nobody really knows when he'll be back or if he'll be back, and the Packers said he could miss the season. So to discuss all of that and everything else that happened last night, I'm here with Tom Silverstein. This is the Packers Podcast. And, Tom, that was an interesting game for a lot of different reasons. I've never covered a game without Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. You have.
I was there in 13 when Shea McClellan did the same thing to him at Lambeau Field. Outside linebackers are not his best friend. And he went down hard. And broken collarbone, you know, you could come back with when it's your left collarbone. But with your right, not only do you have to recover from it, you have to get your arm strength back and get all the range of motion back in your shoulder. I'm sure that's something they'll start working on at some point, but we don't know if he needs surgery, which would complicate matters. I don't think the Packers would say there's a chance he'll be out for the season if there wasn't a really good chance that he'll be out for the season.
Valid point.
So I would not expect him back. I think the best case scenario would be if he could come back for the playoffs, maybe, but I wouldn't count on it.
So basically what happened was in the first quarter, he rolled out to his right, fired a pass to Martellus Bennett on second down. Bennett dropped it, and right after he released it, he was decked by Anthony Barr, one of the linebackers for the Vikings, landed on his right side, stayed down for a couple minutes. Then they looked at him quickly in the tent, and he was ushered off the field. Now, going back to 13, when he did miss some time, what sort of happens in the next, you know, couple of weeks from like a mood standpoint or a demeanor standpoint in the locker room? Is there a noticeable change when Rodgers is gone?
You know, by nature, the NFL is a business, and teams don't really go into a funk like that. It's the next day, and you know, it's such a habit, a creatures of habit. They go back to their routine. Rodgers isn't there. They might notice a practice isn't going as well as it normally does. But I don't think there's anybody who's just absolutely devastated emotionally because Rodgers is out. I think a lot of guys understand that injury is part of the game, and it happens to everybody. So, and you know, Rodgers is, if anything, I think it emotionally it means more about the outcome than it does about him as a person. I think it's not like someone who's just absolutely the most beloved person in the world. Rodgers is kind of a private guy, and they respect him for who he is and all of that. And he's a great player, but I don't think it's the kind of thing that's just going to drown the locker room. I don't. I think they'll come back ready to give it a shot.
So Brett Hundley comes in the first quarter, finishes the game, and his stat line was 18 of 33 for 157, one touchdown, three picks. He was sacked four times. His passer rating was 39.6.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably been a really long time since any Packers quarterback has had a passer rating of 39.6.
Yeah.
But there were some reasons for that. What played into it today?
Well, you know, for one, the guy did not take a single practice snap all week. That belongs to Rodgers. And the game plan was set up for Rodgers. So, in fact, the whole offense is set up for Rodgers. As I pointed out in my story, this has been a 10-year project to get every ounce of advantage out of Rodgers, the smartest player on the field, most talented guy. It's to put him against everybody else. And now you have to change that. Now it has to be the entire offense versus the defense. It's not just up to Rodgers. So there's going to have to be a lot of changes in the offense, a lot of responsibility taken over by other players, and who knows what this offense is going to turn into. I really don't. I don't think we'll know for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and so to give an example of what you're talking about, it's something that we discussed on the podcast a number of times during training camp, and I mentioned it Sunday night in an interview I did after the game. Basically, you know, Rodgers excels outside of the pocket. He's amazing when he gets outside of the pocket, and that's what teams fear the most. That's why a lot of times you have, you know, only four rushers and that they want to contain him. Hundley, dating back to the exhibition games and even his first season, he doesn't look good outside the pocket. It's not one of his strengths right now.
No, it hasn't.
And so the same thing happened against the Vikings on Sunday. He got out of the pocket at times because he was running for his life behind the offensive line, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I just wonder how much they can do now with bootlegs, with things like that, because it's just not his strength. Now, again, we can talk more about this later, but that was just an example of what you're saying.
Yeah, there's certain plays that I think he can excel at on the run, but he can't do the same things as Rodgers. He can't throw across his body from left to right. He's not great at identifying open guys down the field. He's trying to be careful. He doesn't want to throw interceptions. I just think they need to focus, go back, look at what he did during the exhibition season and try to find out, doing practice, and try to remember what it was that his strengths were. And then go with that and, you know, put more responsibility on your play development, on your what you're expecting from guys after the catch. I mean, you're going to have to maybe go to a shorter pass game and put more emphasis on the run. I just think it's got to be a different game. And then, of course, you know, the defense has to come around. They just have to. They will go nowhere unless they start playing, you know, like a defensive team.
So the idea of the running game is something that intrigues me a little bit, because the knock on McCarthy year after year after year is he abandons the run. Well, if there was ever a time to embrace the run, to run as much as you can, now this would be it. And so what we saw at the running back position on Sunday was 13 carries for 41 yards from Aaron Jones for an average of 3.2. And then 10 carries for 28 yards from Ty Montgomery with an average of 2.8. Now, with those two guys, with Jones still being a rookie, with Montgomery still dealing with these ribs, and with the status of the offensive line, is it reasonable to think that they can be productive running the ball?
Absolutely. And I still don't get why Ty Montgomery got as many carries as he did. And from what I saw, I thought Aaron Jones could have turned some of Montgomery's carries into bigger gains.
I agree.
Montgomery fell down on a key pass. I think it was a third down or fourth down pass. Jones is just a better back. I don't really understand what they were trying to accomplish with Montgomery by switching every series. Jones is clearly the better back.
Do you think it has anything to do with sort of the a more simplified version of the Brett Hundley effect? In other words, we spent so much time talking about how much time the Packers have invested in Hundley, how much time, resources, mm-hmm. you know, sweat, man hours. Do you think they feel any sort of is it a point of pride maybe with Montgomery that they said, look, we're going to make this guy a running back. We made him go through all this offseason stuff. We spent so much time with him.
Yeah.
He's our running back.
Right.
Do you think any of that's viable?
It could be. Could be part of it. Could be that. They just don't want to put too much on Aaron Jones right now. But in this game, this was built for Aaron Jones because it's on turf, and the Vikings were just selling out, you know, to pressure, and you just needed to get Jones in the secondary one or two times, and they couldn't do it. I'm still scratching my head over that.
So how do you think the issues with the offensive line will play into this? And so to run through them really quickly, all five starters were actually there at the start
yeah,
of the game.
For what, three plays?
For the first time all season, Bakhtiari and Bulaga started together. And then just in general, they had from left to right, Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, Corey Linsley, Jari Evans, and Brian Bulaga. Then the first one to go down was Lane Taylor, and he gets rolled up on really good by Brett Hundley that looked really nasty, and Taylor was carted off the field to the locker room. Then you had Brian Bulaga go out with a concussion, and then finally David Bakhtiari's hamstring gave out. So by the end of the game, from left to right, the offensive line was Justin McCray, Lane Taylor, Justin McCray, Lucas Patrick.
Right.
Then at center was Corey Linsley. At right guard was Jari Evans. And at right tackle was Ulrich John, he of the Arizona practice squad two and a half weeks ago.
Many people who probably never even heard of him.
And so, again, now we talked about, you know, can they run the ball with, you know, everything that's going on? Yes. But, I mean, what kind of time, if any, is Hundley going to have back there if he's dealing with this hodgepodge?
Well, we'll see what happens next week with Bulaga, whether he can come back. Lane Taylor, I wouldn't doubt he could come back, but it sure did look kind of bad.
Bakhtiari, I think, could be the real concern.
I don't know if Bakhtiari actually injured it or if it just gave out because of fatigue.
So here's the quote from Bakhtiari. He said, quote, "We had a game plan going in with what we were going to do with it, depending on how it felt. To be honest, that halftime and then going out there and having a long drive really killed it. So when I went out there for that series in the third quarter, it just started doing things we didn't like. Came back off, talked to them," meaning the trainers, "and we thought it would be smart to just sit," end quote.
Probably is smart. Might have saved himself further injury, and maybe he will be ready next week. You got to expect a guy who hasn't played for a month with a hamstring injury that fatigue is going to be a factor.
No question.
And at some point, you know, I think the key is, if he's telling the truth, that he didn't re-injure it. If it was just a matter of it giving out, then it's probably not a bad deal. If he did re-injure it, then they're in deep doo-doo.
So, you know, it doesn't divide up how many hits were absorbed by which quarterback, but in total, the Vikings got 13 quarterback hits.
Just incredible.
Now, I don't know how many were Rodgers and how many were Hundley, excuse me, but Brian Robeson, who you mentioned earlier in the week when we talked about the matchups, is mm-hmm. just a sub-rusher, had 5 hits alone. And, I mean, then it was spread out pretty much from there.
Wow.
2 for Tom Johnson, 2 for Anthony Barr, 1 for Linval Joseph, 1 for Everson Griffin, 2 for Harrison Smith. What a game Harrison Smith had. Holy cow,
man,
is that a heck of a football player.
Man.
So he finished with 5 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, a tackle for loss, an interception, and 2 passes broken up.
Wow.
So what do you make of this offense now with I mean, they've clearly got playmakers with Jordy Nelson, with Davante Adams, Martellus Bennett. What do you think the chemistry is going to be like with those guys in Hundley?
Well, they still have talent, and what you have to do is the quarterback's the most important player on the field for the offense, but it doesn't mean that he has to bear the responsibility that Rodgers does. It means that maybe you're not quite as complicated. Maybe you focus on a few more things and just try to let your talent beat their talent instead of trying to outthink other teams. And, you know, Rodgers loves that game within the game, but Hundley's not experienced enough to have that game within the game. So maybe you have to play it a little, you know, more simple, punt a few more times, you know, accept that you're not going to score 38 points every game, and figure out a way to fix your defense, get those guys back on the field, because really, if they had been healthy in the secondary today, I think they still would have had a chance to win.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know, if they'd had Burnett, Kevin King, and House, I think there's a chance. Well, I'm not saying they're going to win, but it would have been a closer game.
No, I agree. And so, you know, the thing that you just mentioned, the point that you made about maybe scaling things back a little bit from a simplistic standpoint, I wonder if you almost have to treat Hundley, at least for the first couple weeks while he gets his feet wet, as essentially a game manager. You know, one of these quarterbacks that – I mean, look at what Jacksonville's done with Blake Bortles. The guy mm-hmm. threw like 13 passes the other day and they or last week, and they still win because they run the ball, they have a decent defense, and, you know, he's just not screwing up, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of what you'd have to look at? You know, maybe some of these guys that are lesser QBs in the league but just essentially trying to avoid mistakes more than win games?
I think it's more about how complicated you get with formations, with motion, with, you know, Rodgers loves all that kind of stuff. But with Hundley, maybe you just, you've got to get the ball to Nelson. You've got to get the ball to Adams. You've got to get the ball to Cobb. You've got to get the ball to Bennett. You've got to get the ball to Kendricks. You have all these guys who can do something with the ball. You have to find a way to get them the ball. It's just that you have to do it differently. And I don't think it's the number of passes. I think it's the type of passes that are going to be different. And that's what you're going to have to figure out, is how can you have him function without throwing interceptions, without you know, getting too complicated and letting guys blitz off the edge and hit him in the back, you know? I mean, there were some protection problems too from call standpoint.
So I know that they still have talent at the receiver position. I don't think there's anybody doubting that. But the two players that I now wonder how effective or in which ways they can be effective moving forward are Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb for a couple different reasons. When you talk about Nelson, we've discussed his lack of speed, you know, how he's having to essentially be a guy that beats zone coverage or excels in the red zone. Well, a lot of it, and you wrote it in your column, you know, before the game Sunday morning, about how he has sort of this, you know, telepathic relationship with Rodgers. Well, he's not going to have that with Hundley. So are there going to be ways that he can still be effective, given his lack of speed, given his lack of separation, with a new quarterback? And then Cobb, on the other hand, is a guy that relies so much on the extended plays, as we've talked about. If Hundley is not as adept at making those plays, extending things, how can Cobb be effective? Those are the two guys. Adams, I don't worry about. Those two guys, I wonder.
Yeah. Well, we did see them, Hundley and Nelson, connect on a really nice back shoulder.
Yes, they did.
Although I'm wondering if back shoulder is going to be what Jordy Nelson does now, and teams are going to start squatting on that pretty soon because they're not really afraid of him getting behind them. I think the scramble thing is a matter of getting to know each other.
Okay.
And Martellus Bennett has been guilty of not being in tune with Rodgers. He just isn't.
Not at all.
And even today, he did manage to get open. He
yeah.
was wide open.
Wide
it
open.
It was going to be a big game, but he was so excited about it, I think he took his eyes off the ball. Cobb, they're just going to have to do it in practice. I'm going to be interested to see what their if they change their practice ways a little bit and do some more 9-on-7, skeleton drills, things like that to get Hundley more in rhythm with his receivers.
How detrimental is it, do you think, for the Packers moving forward that they will not have Rodgers' hard count and cadence at the line of scrimmage? Because I'm sure Hundley can do it, and I'm sure he's going to try it. There'd be no reason not to. But can defenses be, I don't know, if it's more aggressive, or can they pay less attention to the snap count because they know they're not dealing with a guy that's the best in the league at it?
Yeah, probably. he's going to still try it. And I thought he did an okay job of it in training camp.
Yeah,
he got
I agree.
Some guys to jump. It's, you know, Rodgers wasn't that great at it when he came out, and it was from watching Favre do it that he got so good at it. And then Hundley's been watching Rodgers. But, yeah, that's just another advantage you lose not having Rodgers.
So let's go to the other side of the ball a little bit and talk about this Packers defense that is going to need to improve, as you mentioned. Some numbers real quick. Case Keenum, 24 of 38 for 239, one touchdown and one pick. Jerick McKinnon, 16 carries for 69. Latavius Murray, 15 for 28. And then the big receiver was Adam Thielen with 9 catches for 97. Stephon Diggs was inactive. So with all the injuries they have, and we went over them briefly in the secondary, how does this defense do it? How do they win?
Well, first of all those numbers you said are, if you'd asked me before the game if that was acceptable, I would have said yes.
100% agree.
You know, one touchdown and one interception. You know, they could have used another turnover. They had two, right? They forced two, a fumble and a...
Yeah, and I believe they led to 10 points.
Right, right. Their secondary is such a mess. You know, you don't have three starters. I didn't expect Devon House not to start. That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, I talked to him in the locker room. He said he put it at about 50-50 whether he would play this week. And I said, well, why was it so low? And he said, well, I actually re-injured it in the second quarter against Dallas, and then I just played it anyway because we didn't – he said I wanted to gut it out. We just didn't have really many other options. So I think essentially by saying that, he basically – was admitting that he made it worse mm-hmm. by playing through the rest mm-hmm. of the game. So I don't know if he'll be available this coming week, but he pegged it at 50-50 when he woke up Sunday morning, and then it didn't go his way.
I'll tell you what they have to do, is they have to, when Kevin King comes back, they have to put him on the other team's best receiver every game. You can't, you know, you can't rely on House because he's been hurt. You can't rely on Randall, although he played okay today.
Another interception.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row where a tip ball hits him right in the hands.
Rollins actually played well till he got hurt. I thought he actually was fairly solid.
His injury didn't look good either.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a season-ending injury.
Yeah.
It just didn't look good at all. It could have been, as far as we know, it could have been an Achilles. It could have been...
Yeah.
Broken foot.
He
don't know.
Couldn't put any weight on it. He had to literally hop off the field on one leg. He went to the tent.
Did you see him in the locker room at all?
No. When he got out of the tent, they motioned for the cart, and he couldn't even put weight on it at all without, you know, motioning immediately for the training staff to help him just go 3 feet to sit down on the cart.
That's bad. That's bad. So, yeah, I wonder whether we'll see him again anytime soon. Lindsey Pipkins, I've got to give him some credit. He battled.
Yes, you know? He did.
He was better than Josh Hawkins, who was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Pipkins plays with so much adrenaline or craziness to him that it's a double-edged sword. I asked House, I said, well, what do you make of this guy's energy? And he said, well, he's the energy guy in our room. Now we have to find a way to, I can't remember if he said harness or manage or contain, mm-hmm. but he basically said that we have to prevent the guy from going too crazy.
Yeah, because he almost did after Treadwell put the crackback black on him. He wanted to fight him.
So I don't know. Can the secondary be good at this point?
I don't think it can. Well, if you have Morgan Burnett, it's also a little bit of a different game because Kyle Rudolph hurt them a lot, and that's what Burnett does. He covers tight ends. It could have been a little bit of a different game with those three back. They still have decent pass rush. You know, they still play the run pretty well. I thought McKinnon had some nice runs, but nothing that absolutely killed him. So the makings are there of a okay defense, of a decent defense. But, you know, so many things have to happen for that to be the case. And number one is they got to get King, and number two is Burnett. They have to get back.
Based on what we know about the Vikings offensive line, how it's improved but not great, is it concerning at all that Mike Daniels had two tackles and basically was non-existent, and Nick Perry had four tackles and as a rusher was absolutely non-existent?
Well, I thought Perry was more non-existent than Daniels was. Daniels, I thought, blew up the inside a few times.
Okay, I thought Kenny Clarke outplayed him today.
He might have, at least from a statistical standpoint, but I got to look and see. You know, Daniels might have been getting all the double teams.
That's true.
You don't really know for sure. I think that, but Perry has played Riley Reiff before, and he's beaten him, and he didn't. Do you have a quarterback hit?
He did not. He also did not have a tackle for loss.
Yeah, so he needs to play better. Matthews, I don't remember him being around the quarterback all that much.
He had two quarterback hits.
He did?
Yeah, okay. Two of the four that the Packers had.
Yeah, that's not enough. Now, Keenum gets rid of the ball quickly.
Right.
And, you know, Blake Martinez played a pretty good game till he got hurt.
And then he came back, you know, fortunately for that defense. But I agree with you. I think that if through the first five games you wanted to look at some of the most important defensive players they have, he's got to be in the top three or four.
Yeah, yeah, he is. You put him, King, and probably Burnett. Josh Jones was nowhere to be seen, I thought, today.
Nope.
And Kentrell Bryce, is he ever going to make a tackle again?
Him and Clinton Dix take the worst angles. I mean, it's like what you joke about when you go to the airport and you have to fly west to go east. These guys mm-hmm. take the most bizarre angles to the football at times. And Bryce, I know the guy's an athletic wonder, but I don't know if he's any good.
Yeah, I don't know either. I see him miss more tackles than, you know, clobber guys, you know, so it's...
And the one time he clobbered Thielen, it was a catch anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... At some point, you know, they got to figure out, can they... Right now they're playing Josh Jones just at the nitro. They got to figure out whether they can play him deep now, too.
So I don't know what to make of this defense. I mean, they created two turnovers. One was the tip pass by Martinez, great play by him that goes right to Rollins. And then Jake Ryan had the strip, and Clay Matthews runs it about 80 yards and then has it poked out himself, and he mm-hmm. fumbles.
People on the blog insisted it was Kenny Clarke who knocked that ball out.
Oh, well, I mean, it was credited to Jake Ryan, but
was, yeah.
That's all we can go by is the box score.
Yeah, that could get changed if indeed he did. I want to look at that, but anyway.
So if you're Drew Brees and you're coming to Lambeau Field in 6 days, you got to think that you can throw for as many yards as you want against
this
secondary.
52 points on the Lions, is that right?
Three defensive scores, but yeah, 52 points for
okay,
New Orleans.
So that's 31 points you put on them, you know, offensively. Yeah. You gotta be looking at this and thinking, boy, this will be a nice chance to steal a road game.
Well, that's the thing, because I think that when you looked at this game, you know, after 2 weeks of the season and everybody saw how atrocious that Saints defense was, you thought, okay, the Packers will score a million points, and even if they give up a decent amount, their defense is still better than New Orleans, so mm-hmm. it'll tip in their favor. It's essentially become almost the worst-case scenario for the Packers because the Saints have a really bad defense, but I have no idea if Hundley can orchestrate drives to score. And on the flip side, Brees is going to torch you.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Hundley to match Brees, but this is a game where you have to play field position. And you got to play defense, play field position, try to hold New Orleans down as best you can. Don't turn the ball over, and maybe you can do enough against their defense to win. It's just that you can't give up three defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, that would be an issue.
You can't keep turning the ball over. You've got to just be pretty methodical and keep them on the field. That's the key, and I would guess that's going to be the game plan. Hundley's going to be throwing a lot of short balls.
They also didn't get much help from Justin Vogel today.
No.
What was going on with him?
A couple of those punts were terrible.
They just looked awful. I'm trying to find the number here. So he had six punts. He averaged 43.8. His net was 44.7. But one of those was one that Sherrill's just let bounce, and then it went like another 20 yards. But he had a 26-yarder that he shanked out of bounds.
You should average 48 yards a punt. What did he didn't have that good of a game.
He averaged 38.
Yeah. I don't know what was
it was
going
really
on
bad. It was really bad. So let's just, for the sake of exercise, let's look at their schedule. And just based on what we know right now,
yeah,
the injuries, let's see what games we think they can win. Would you pick them to beat New Orleans?
Not right now.
Okay.
No.
Then they got the bye. Mm-hmm. Would you pick them to beat Detroit?
At home?
At home.
Yeah. No.
No. Okay. So we both agree. 0-2 there. At the Bears.
Boy, and they just beat the Ravens.
They just beat the Ravens
in overtime. Flip a coin. I don't know. Packers usually play well there, so I'm not sure. I'll give them the win on that one.
Okay, so 1-2. Then they play the Ravens. I think that defense is going to...
I think that defense will eat them up.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got them 1-3. At Pittsburgh, no chance.
No chance. 1-4.
Home against the Bucks.
They can beat them.
Okay, 2-4. At Cleveland.
They can beat them.
3-4. At Carolina.
Can't beat them.
3-5. Home against the Vikings.
I don't think they can beat them.
Agreed. 3-6. At the Lions to end the season.
No.
So we have them 3-7, which essentially would make them 7-9.
Yeah. Now,
Rodgers could come back toward the end of that.
Well, yeah, and something will change. I just don't believe that McCarthy... this whole thing is going to come down to, one, is Hundley... did they judge Hundley correctly and think that he could actually win some games? Number one.
Right now I vote no, but, I mean, we got to see him play.
We have to see him play. Number two is we'll find out how good a coach, offensive coach McCarthy is working with someone who's not a great quarterback. You know, he had trouble when Tolzien was a quarterback.
And Van Pelt, too.
Yeah, right, and Van Pelt, too. But then Matt Flynn came in, and, you know, despite the fact that Matt Flynn could barely throw a ball down the field, they did okay. So I don't think we really know until how this is going to go until we see Hundley with a full week of practice.
Yeah.
And really, I don't think we'll know until after the bye week.
I agree with that because, I mean, they could have a decimated offensive line again against New Orleans, and then it becomes a thing that, like we were talking about with the offense in general through the first couple of weeks, is the offense any good or do we not know because the offensive line is absent?
Yeah. This is my absolute, like, I am never a glass half full kind of guy, but I started thinking about the Giants in what year is that, 89, when Phil Simms got hurt and Jeff Hostetler came in and he was the backup quarterback and led them to the Super Bowl. Now they had a great defense. The Packers don't have a defense like that, but it's not, my point was that it's not impossible to have a backup quarterback function, just like the Vikings are doing with Case Keenum. You know, there's a big drop-off in talent between Bradford and Case Keenum, and
no
he's
question.
Playing pretty good. So it's really, we'll find out, we've said all along that, or I've said all along that I think this is the most talented team they've had in a long time. Now we're going to find out if I was right, because Hundley, they can make up for some of Hundley's deficiencies if they're good enough.
So, at this point in time, if you had to handicap the NFC North, I think the Vikings are the favorite mm-hmm. because of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's a... I mean, the Lions look terrible if they gave up 52 points to New Orleans, but I still think that Stafford, you got to put them ahead of the Packers to win the division, too.
Yeah. What are the Bears now?
2-4? I put this in the notebook in this morning's paper. So it's the Vikings 4-2, the Packers 4-2, the Lions 3-3, the Bears 2-4.
I mean, apparently Mitch Trubisky is pretty good. And if, you know, they have a good running game, so maybe I was wrong about the Packers winning there. I think it's going to be kind of come down like it was last year, or not last year, 2013 when Rodgers got hurt. You know, 8-7-1. Did that make the play? That made the playoffs.
And then what happened in those playoffs? I don't remember.
They lost to San Francisco on a last-second field goal at home in a bitter cold game. They actually played pretty well. We'll see. Again, it's just we're sitting here with not enough information. People are going to want the Packers to sign a veteran quarterback.
Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick. They're not going to do it. They're going Hundley. They're all in on Hundley. This is his fourth year.
Let me ask you this. Could they possibly sign a veteran third stringer?
Yes.
Well, second stringer, and essentially say, look, Joe Callahan, we love you, but you can't be our backup.
Well, yeah, and sign Callahan. Sign Callahan and the number three. And have three quarterbacks on your roster, just in case. I could see him doing that. You know, in that case, you could do Kaepernick. But the problem is anybody from outside has to learn this system.
Yes.
If you're going to sign Tony Romo, he's got to start.
Right.
He's not coming here to be a backup.
And the other thing is, like in the Romo-Kaepernick argument, how anal and how obsessive are McCarthy and Van Pelt with footwork. I'm not sold they're going to want to work with a guy like Kaepernick, not because he doesn't have talent, just because he's so abstract and so improvisational that it's going to drive them nuts.
I just wonder, could they sign him and put some stuff in their offense for him?
Well, that's a decent point.
You don't have Hundley be the starter, but put some things that some Wildcat stuff in there. I mean, that's what Harbaugh did his first year when Alex Smith was his quarterback, and then they used Kaepernick as kind of a Wildcat guy. Why not? You know, I mean, they're going to have to think outside the box here now without Rodgers.
Do you think it's actually possible that they would sign Kaepernick, not only given his skill set, but given the attention that would come with it and the Packers' general reticence when it comes to putting themselves into national stories?
I don't think they would care about that much. I really don't. I think, if anything, Mark Murphy, you know, Goodell might be on the phone with Mark Murphy right now, given Colin Kaepernick just filed a collusion suit to say, please bring him in, you know, please sign him, because we're about to get sued for whatever. I would not be surprised if they brought him in for a workout.
Okay.
Whether they sign him, I don't know. But, again, I think you could find something for him. Just a little chunk of you're just not going to be able to make him into your starter. There's too much in this offense that he'd have to learn. But it doesn't mean he couldn't help him in some aspect.
So,
he's a good athlete.
Do you think they're more likely to bring in Kaepernick or Romo?
Kaepernick.
Really?
Yeah. They're not bringing in Romo.
I just wondered if
another old guy to break his collarbone.
Yeah,
you know?
True. But, I mean, he's a guy that could at least – he would have, I think, an easier transition to this offense than Kaepernick would, given his more traditional style and arm talent.
Yes, he would. But, again, if you're bringing him in, he's not coming in to be a backup.
True.
He's your starter. So I don't think they're going to do that.
I think Hundley
is their guy.
So would you say it's better than 50-50 that they sign somebody new?
I'd say it's 50-50.
Okay.
I'd say we'll know more about that tomorrow. But I do think they'll work some guys out just to take a look. And I do think they'll sign Callahan for sure. And then they'll move on from there. But, you know, they do believe in Hundley.
They do.
They really do.
For better or worse.
Yeah,
and it's going to either sink them or it's going to make them swim.
Yeah.
Last little thing before we sign off here. What do you think they do with Rodgers in terms of a roster spot? Because if this thing – can they wait 2 or 3 weeks with him on the active roster and see if it starts healing well?
Well, they can wait and see what the doctors say.
Yeah.
I mean, they could wait this week.
Right.
But – eventually, if they think it's an 8-week injury, why not put him on IR?
Yeah.
Might as well set up a spot for Vince Beagle. You're going to need more defensive guys. You know, you got to start
getting... They might even need Dimitri Goodson at this point.
Yeah, they might. Oh, actually, that's not a bad... You know, he could be active this week.
I didn't even
think of that.
I don't know if he's cleared yet. That's another thing. Because it's been... He tore it right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so it's
11 months. Now, they are probably not going to have Rollins based on the way that looked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sold that House is going to be ready to go since he couldn't even really practice this week.
Right.
Who knows how long King lingers in the concussion protocol. And then the guys you have left, you have Hawkins, Randall, and Pipkins, not a ton of reliability or experience there.
Yeah.
I think Goodson might work his way into the rotation.
I think that could be a possibility. I wouldn't give up on him yet.
No, definitely not. So those guys, him and Beagle, are now eligible to practice if they want to bring them back.
They have a 3-week window in which they can start practicing. Once they start practicing within that 3 weeks, they have 3 weeks of practice time to they can take the up to 3 weeks of practice. And then they have to make a decision on him. So
I think Beagle's going to play next week. I think it's been so long that he's at least going to be on the 53 by Sunday.
I don't.
You don't think so?
No. I think they'll practice him for 3 weeks before they'll.
Really?
I mean, he didn't have any training
even if
camp.
Brooks's back remains bad?
Yeah. Wow. They'll wait. He's got to train.
No, I hear you. I just thought that, you know, if they're really only going with Perry, Matthews, and Fackrell, because I don't think Odom played. Can you really just keep going with three outside linebackers and run these guys into the ground?
You're
going
to have to.
Okay.
I mean, because I think you just end up hurting Vince Beagle. He hasn't hit anybody.
Well, that's true.
You know, 2 months, more than that. Yeah,
okay.
I think they start practicing him right away.
So if anybody were to be active a week from now, you'd put Goodson more likely than Beagle?
Yeah, I would, just because he has experience, he's played. But like you said, I don't know what his physical condition is.
And last year, remember, he was suspended the first four games, and then he was active the next week,
yeah,
I think, wasn't
exactly.
it? Because they had all those corner issues.
I think so.
And then I remember he ended up playing the full game down in Atlanta the first time.
Yeah.
So who knows? But a wild afternoon at US Bank Stadium. Anything else you want to talk about, or should we head out of here?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to talk about this week, so let's save our breath. I mean, we'll have something every day this week to add to this story. But right now, don't expect Aaron Rodgers back anytime soon.
Or at all. So yeah. We don't know how that'll play out. Until then, be sure to check everything we write and post on PackersNews.com and JSOnline.com. We'll have another midweek podcast for you and then another later in the week to preview the upcoming game against the New Orleans Saints. So until then, hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we will talk to you soon.
Do, da, dippity. Come on. So now I dwell just to say you're plain. Come on. Pull your cup because I got the container. Come on. Pass the plate up. Cross the fader. Come on. Flagship get played like the Sony innovator. Never the traitor. Party of flavor. And you can get a scoop later. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.